When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV, it's the match preview time. I'm Steve Hoare, delighted to be joined by Andy Bell and by Ricky Haywood-Williams as well to have a better chat than the one Ricky had this morning. We look back at the Atlanta game with Dan. In this show, we're obviously going to look ahead to Liverpool versus Crystal Palace on Sunday afternoon. The Reds getting a chance to get back on the horse after falling off it rather spectacularly yesterday. Guys, thanks very much for coming in, Andy. Enjoying the last couple of days of your Easter holiday before you're back to the grind as well, man. Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I could have done without that, to be completely honest. You sort of get to sort of Thursday, Friday of the second week, and you're starting to get a bit nervous about going back to work. Sort of starting to think about doing a bit of work, and that was sort of a bit of an escape, but it was anything but an escape last night.
Yeah, Ricky, we planned to have you in for a long time. It's been a few weeks coming, and you didn't pick the best game to review.
I literally picked the worst time to come and see you guys. I almost cancelled. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, they're not gonna want me here after that game.
Mate, we need your positivity. I've watched your shows and listened to your stuff. You bring new positivity. I'm hoping to get some more of that after you today. Let's make a start then, Rick. Of course, I'll come to you first. Like, everyone always complains sometimes about the Thursday Sunday grind of Europa League Sunday.
Yeah.
I actually think maybe it's a positive now that we're playing so quickly, because the last thing you want is to dwell on what was probably the worst performance of the season, one of the worst home performances I can remember under Jurgen Klopp. Really,
yeah.
The fact that that Palace is coming around so quickly maybe gives everyone a chance to maybe just get out of the system straight away.
Yeah, I think you're right, man. Literally by half time, I think we all knew that this was the worst we've seen Liverpool play for a very, very long time, and it didn't get much better, did it? But yeah, you're right. Definitely get back on the horse straight away, try and get a good result. It would be worse, I think, if we had to wait a bit longer. Yep. So I think the fact that it is on Sunday and it is against Palace, I think the last three games, two draws. So, you know, they're not doing too well at the moment either. So hopefully we can capitalise on that.
As I was saying, we'll speak about Palace more in depth in a little bit. In fact, let's just do it now. Since the new manager took over, they've had that one win. He took over, technically it wasn't for the Everton game, he was in the stands, the Everton game which they drew. They beat Burnley, but then they lost at Spurs, they drew with Luton, they drew with Forest, they lost at Bournemouth. Obviously last weekend they gave Man City a little bit of a scare, but then ultimately, I mean, they deserve to lose. They got beat 4-2. It does feel like, you know, if they were expecting like a new manager bounce, they haven't really got one yet. But like I say, for them, they're probably looking at Liverpool going, now is a great time to go and play them and maybe do upset the apple cart.
Yeah, totally. He's not had a very nice time of it. You're right. He's only won one game, and that was against Burnley at home. Draws against the likes of Luton at home and Sheffield United as well. You know, games that really Crystal Palace fans will expect to be winning. And it's a bit of a transition period for them as well. You know, this guy that's come in, the first time I actually watched his style of play was on Saturday there against Man City, and they actually impressed me quite a bit. It wasn't how I'd expect a bottom half team to play against City. Now, they did concede a lot of chances, and sort of progressive teams who try to play a bit of football against Man City will concede a lot of chances, but there was a plan to carry a threat as well, and that's what so often you don't see against Man City. Teams are just sort of happy to take their 2-0 or 3-0 defeat. So I was quite impressed with how they played. And you know, this guy Glasner, as much as he hasn't had a very nice time of it so far, he's not sort of some gammon who's come up from the Championship. He's actually got a bit about him. He's got a
league winner.
He's got European experience. He's tactically very astute, and he'll relish coming to Anfield. And you know, it'll take him time to sort of work out how to beat these low blocks at home and get Palace the points they should be getting. But in terms of this one, he'll be relishing this. And you know, we need to be on our game, because we've got some good players, Palace as well.
I was also saying that, Ricky, like, if anyone at the moment, and again, I'm not trying to be too negative, but if you're playing against Liverpool at the moment, you're probably thinking, we're probably going to get a couple of chances. Yeah. You know, even, you know, we let Man United rubbish. They've scored like six goals against Liverpool in two games.
I know,
we saw yesterday that kind of stuff. Yeah. In the likes of Mateta and Elise, who's just come back. Obviously, Eze is still around as well. They have got players who, you know, if Liverpool aren't on it, like Liverpool haven't, definitely weren't last night, even against Brighton a little bit as well at times, even against Sheffield United at times. Palace do have the players who can punish you. So it's, you know, we're talking about a reaction, but it's been quite a theme recently. You know, attacking players having a little bit of joy against us.
Yeah, it feels like, I do think we're going to win, but it does feel like a potential banana skin kind of fixture. Obviously, we play a high line. Palace are going to be wanting to play, you know, a low block and then trying to hit us on the counter-attack. Yeah. And they did that really well against Man City in the first half of that game.
They ran out of legs a little bit, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They did. I think they ran out of legs and just kind of, yeah, they lost their way a little bit, and then the quality of Man City just came through and they got punished like severely. But if they can get a goal like early on against us, it could be a very, very tricky game. It could get like nervy, you know, the crowd might, you know, get a bit nervous as well, because I think we put so much on these last few games with it being Klopp's like swan song and that and whatnot. I just feel like if it doesn't go our way early on, if we're not clinical in those first few like 25 minutes or so, I think it could be a tough game.
I felt, Andy, I did watch the Palace game, I'm sorry, the City game a little bit of it as well. Mm. Obviously, they get the early goal, and to be fair, like, they actually defend quite well. They defend quite stubbornly with that. They have like that three-man defence, and obviously the full-backs tucking in as well. City, you know, it took a worldie really from Kevin De Bruyne to get them back into it, and then a really good, another well-worked goal from Rico Lewis just after half-time. They did look like a team who, if you give them something to hold on to, then they have got that is the dog in them, the fight in them to hold on to it. And like I say, look what Brighton did, scored early. We saw yesterday Atalanta could have scored even earlier than they did. It's been a theme again for Liverpool, really conceding that early goal. Is there anything the manager can do to change that? Because if it does feel like Liverpool have not been great starters, and listen, Ricky's right, Liverpool should be Crystal Palace, but they are a team who you don't really want to give something to hold on to, because they've shown that they are capable maybe of defending quite well.
Yeah, I don't think there's necessarily any sort of personnel changes you can make to guard against that. You know, ultimately you're picking the two centre halves, and then you're picking two full backs. If one of them's Gomez, you're going a little bit more defensive. But Gomez has started in many of these games where we've conceded early, and it hasn't really made a difference. So, you know, I'd personally go for two attacking full backs, and we'll maybe get onto that later in the show. In terms of, like, some teams will come to Anfield and they'll just defend for their lives, and they'll hope to get a set piece, and they'll hope to sort of nick something on the break, and that's fine. But Palace, I think they'll come with a real plan to...
They do try to play a bit.
They certainly do. And what struck me about the game against City as well was the amount of times that they picked the ball off Rodri. And I think Rodri's probably the best midfielder in the world, you know? So if he's targeted him in a way that they could create chances, and did create chances, then he's going to have a plan. And whether that's the same plan as when they come to Anfield, I don't know. But I think who plays in that number six is going to be very important. And I'd personally give Endo a bit of a break. I think he looks tired at the minute.
I do.
I'd maybe throw McAllister in there for this one, based on what I've seen from them. But no, it's one of those where we don't want to go. It felt like they were happy to sort of create five chances and give City 10 chances and take their chances against that. And that's very similar to how United played against us. You know, they were happy to give us chances on the break and banking that we wouldn't be clinical enough. And since around probably Bournemouth away at the end of January, we haven't been clinical enough, and teams have been right to take that approach. So it is a concern, and the players coming back are going to need to give us that sharpness and that clinicalness, if that's a word, in the final third. If we're gonna get these wins, that we're going to need to challenge from the league.
Obviously, at this time of the year, Rick, we have a reference point of the last time we played these teams. Obviously, it was a different manager when Liverpool went to Palace, but listen, it took an injury time winner from Harvey, a very good goal from Harvey earlier, and also maybe a little bit of a debatable red card for Palace. You know, I mean, they weren't too happy. Liverpool, they going down to 10, and then Liverpool equalised pretty much straight away. They obviously, again, they went 1-0 up in that game. They got the penalty on Kwanzaa. That took like 7 minutes for VAR to give. But I don't know, given, and I think we've all kind of half joked a little bit of gallows humour around the mood at the moment, Dave says here in the comments, it's absolutely critical we score first, because if we go behind again, it could drain the energy. It does feel like there's a lot of teetering with this Liverpool side. Like, well, listen, Liverpool are in the mix. They've won a trophy. They're second in the Premier League on goal difference. They're still in Europe, albeit clinging on to that one. But it does feel like there's an unease around the place. And if Liverpool do concede first, like they did against Palace last time, I do wonder what the reaction would be like from the fan base and from the players as well, because for the first time yesterday they actually didn't get one. usually when they've conceded the first, they have come back and they've responded, but yesterday was the first time they haven't. It does feel like this is one of those games where you don't want to be doing that again.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you look at the two Man United games, the one in the FA Cup and then the one in the league recently, we absolutely battered them, but we were just so wasteful, weren't clinical. I think there was a moment where Szoboszlai went through in the Man United game quite early on and just didn't bury it. And I felt like, you know, if that was years gone by, if that was a Mane or if that was a Salah in his peak, that's a goal. Like, do you know what I mean? And it just adds that bit of pressure, just knowing that we're not quite there in terms of finishing at the moment, not to the level that we were once were, like a couple of years ago, maybe. So that just adds a bit of pressure. So if we do go a goal behind, it does feel like a bit more of a mountain to climb. And as we know, Palace, you know, they can set up really, really well. So it would be a tricky game. So I don't think it's imperative that we score first, because we know that we can come from behind. But I think if we do, I think we win the game. I really do think we win the game.
Yeah, it does feel like that way. Like, I can't sit in and say Liverpool have to score first, because they've conceded the first goal like 20 times and they've won more often than not. But I don't know. And it just does feel like, and I might be wrong, I don't know if there's a lack of confidence in the players or whatever it is, but it does feel a little bit different, where things do feel a little bit fragile. Would you agree with that?
I do, and I think just more than anything else, you know, Ricky's right. If we go a goal behind, we can't pull it back, and we possibly would be odds on to pull it back at home to Palace. But you look at our last six fixtures now, you know, after this one, on paper, it gets pretty tricky for the next five, and then you've got Wolves at home. And if we're going to win the league, we're not going to sort of win it 4-0 against Wolves at home. They'll find a way of making it as uncomfortable as possible for us. So after this, we've got Fulham away. I'm not sure about the order of these. Fulham away, West Ham away.
You missed Everton's
in the middle of that. Then Spurs home, then Villa away. There are five really tricky games. Four of them are away from home. And on paper, this is the one that could be comfortable if we can get a couple of goals ahead. But that's based on nothing we've seen in recent form from Liverpool. You know, that's just based on me thinking Liverpool are playing Palace at home. So it would be nice, I think, because the players have put so much into this season. I think mentally and physically, some of the ones who during all those injuries have had to play so much and have to really carry the boats, that a lot of them are looking quite tired at the minute. We could just do having this one wrapped up by 60 minutes. But I did sit here before Sheffield United and give it loads of chat about goal difference as well. And so I'm not going to fall into the same trap.
Yeah, I don't think we're good enough at the moment in form wise to even start thinking that way. Let's have a little look then at how we think Liverpool could line up. It appears, Rick, that Alisson's not quite ready yet. He hasn't even gone back to properly full training yet. He's closer than obviously he was a couple of weeks ago, but he's not quite there yet. So it's going to be Keller in goal again. It was interesting last night with Keith, because I know you spoke about it earlier a little bit, but like, he saves the ones maybe that were difficult, and he lets in a couple that maybe he should have saved. He's actually, one of the things that has been most impressive about Keller has probably been his demeanour and how cool and calm he is. Mm-hmm. But also, how do you think he will react to last night? Because like I say, he makes an incredible save after 4 minutes with his head, but then he lets one through his hands that, like, you know, I'd have been half comfortable saving that one. But it will be interesting to see how he responds, because he's going to play Sunday. He's probably going to have to play Thursday, and then we'll see how things go for Fulham. But it'll be interesting to see how he responds. Do you back him to just put that to one side and go again? Because he is a relatively young lad.
Yeah, he is a relatively young goalkeeper, but I feel like working alongside Alisson is giving him the tools to, you know, have the right mentality, being the number two at Liverpool, but then being able to come in and play so well. And he has played so well over the course of the season. I just feel that he's just a level or two below what Alisson is. So you're going to get those moments where, you know, we expect Alisson to make that save where Keith maybe won't pull it off. It's just a fact, because he's not quite at the level of Alisson. So that just comes down to our defence has got to be better. So Virgil's got a big job to make sure that, you know, those shots or those chances aren't going to get through to him.
No, yeah, absolutely. And hopefully he responds well. Let's talk defenders. And it was interesting, Andy, because after the game, Jürgen hasn't done a proper press conference this game, by the way. He kind of spoke after Atalanta for like 2 minutes and was like, he basically said the only reason Trent Alexander-Arnold was on the bench is because we had 12 spaces. But he was never, ever, ever going to play, which makes you think he's unlikely to player maybe on the bench and maybe some minutes on Sunday. But if he had no chance on Thursday, that feels unlikely that he can start. So then the manager's got, he can go with Gomez again, or he can go with Conor Bradley at right back. And the sense I've got is that it probably should be Bradley.
Yeah, I think as brilliant as Gomez has been filling in this season, I think last night was his worst game of the season in a Liverpool shirt. I think he was really, really poor. I think nothing came off for him. And I've never been as angry at a player as when Jota came on and crowd get a bit of a lift, wins a free kick, everyone's up for it again, everyone's singing, it looks like we could get one back, and it falls to Gomez on the edge of the box, and some Muppets shout shoot, and he shoots, and all the pressure's off all of a sudden. Interestingly enough, I was having a chat with people, you know, that the shoot shout for Gomez, like, it's obviously everyone seems to hate it, but like, I don't know about you, it never seems to be like anyone around me, it's always like dotted around. I can never take anyone to task on it, it's never the person sitting next to me, you know what I mean? So I think the fact that we had one sub remaining going into the dying embers of the game, I can't remember who he brings, or it's Diaz he brings on, but I thought the game was crying out for a Bradley for Gomez substitution, just to give us a little bit more going forward in the fullback areas. And obviously Simicas had a stinker as well, and Robertson came on and made a bit of a difference. So I think for this one, I'd go Bradley and Robertson as the fullbacks, and obviously Virgil, and you would think Kanate, but I thought Kanate struggled a little bit last night as well with the physicality of Scamacca, and Mateta's a very physical striker as well. So, you know, at the weekend, just past there, obviously he goes for Kwanzaa at Old Trafford, and who knows what the sort of hierarchy is there in Klopp's head as well. So wouldn't be shocked to see Kwanzaa play. But if it was me, I'd be going Bradley, Virgil, Kanate and Robertson for this one.
The Kanate thing's interesting. So I think we all agree Bradley and Robertson should play, and Virgil will play. I said yesterday, I found the Kanate Kwanzaa thing, like, I feel like the manager got the wrong way around. Like, I thought Kwanzaa should have been playing the Thursdays, and then maybe Kanate should have been playing the weekends. One of our commenters mentioned maybe it's something to do with the fact that with Ramadan, maybe they wanted to be playing the night games, and obviously that's finished now. I don't, again, that's just hypothetical. But the manager's been really careful to look after Kanate. He hasn't been wanting to play two games a week, but it does feel like Liverpool need to get their best 11 on the pitch at some point. If you're looking for a response, you probably want Ibu starting. And again, I think Kwanzaa's been great. He obviously has the mistake at United, but for the most part, but it does feel like the manager probably needs to flip this now and get Kanate back playing the weekends.
Yeah, I think, you know, Jarrell Kwanzaa, if at the start of the season, we never knew that he was going to have the season that he's had. He's done absolutely phenomenal performances over the course of the season so far. But he's still a young player, and young players are going to make mistakes, and they're going to need time to, that's just the nature of being a young player. They're going to need time to kind of like, you know, lick their wounds, as it were. I'd put Ibu in all day. I think just we're in the running now. It's crunch time. It's the business end of the season, and put your best 11 in, put your best back four in, put your best players in. And you're definitely right. Ibu did struggle against Atalanta.
Wasn't the only one.
but they all struggled, didn't they? I just think it was just a tonal thing. Like, from the start, we just didn't get started. So
interesting. Before you mentioned what midfield, then moving into midfield, about Endo, he did look a little bit leggy. I actually don't think McAllister looked a little bit the same. It'd be interesting, because I thought, going back to that City Palace game, it was Wharton and Will Hughes in the middle, and Andy's right, they actually give City a little bit of a torrid time. They were trying to take the ball off Rodri. It was the most uncomfortable I've seen Rodri look for actually quite a while. In the end, he's class, and it prevails, of course, but it will be interesting to see what the manager does in midfield. Does he want that the energy of Endo, or does he want more ball players, in which case he plays McAllister 6? What would you be doing?
I hear what you're saying about Endo. I think he's struggled over the last couple of games. However, when he's not in, I just feel like it doesn't work as well. I think the fact that Endo's in there and he can just sit and just break play up and just get the turnovers, he does it really, really well. So as long as they'll be in a better position to assess if he's up to it, I'd always have him in there.
I think I agree. I know you said McAllister, Andy. What was you thinking on that one?
Yeah, I would give Endo just a bit of a break. I just think he's looking really leggy at the moment. Yeah, and the way that Palace targeted him, I think, concerned me a little bit. Don't get me wrong, if there was if it's last day of the season tomorrow and we need to pick our best team, I'd have Endo in there. Yeah. I just think right now, and like, at different parts throughout the season, you know, different players have come in and provided a bit of energy when they've needed to. You know, this season, don't get me wrong, Nunez has been much better than Gakpo, but right now Gakpo's looking much fresher, much sharper, and I'd actually, you know, consider starting Gakpo this weekend as well, and we'll come on to talk about the forwards. You know, it's not that I don't think Endo's in our best 11, it's just right now I think maybe give him a bit of a break, especially the way they targeted Rodri. The thing with McAllister as well is, you know, initially when he started playing in the six, because he had to play in the six, he took a while to get going and then was world class. And then we moved him to the eight and he took a while to get going and was world class. So hope that pushing him back into the six doesn't sort of take him a while to get going again, but hopefully he can just slot in there and seamlessly do what he does. But I think there's a conversation around Szoboszlai as well at the moment.
Well, that's the next one, because McAllister's playing. Say there's Endo and McAllister, the question that becomes, I'll stick with you, Andy, is who's the third?
Yeah.
I don't think Kurtz had a particularly great game. Szoboszlai has been a little bit up and down, to say the least. I thought Harvey Elliott was unlucky to get moved out. He always seems to be one who shifted out of position. If you're looking at those three, the form, I can include, of course, Ryan Gravenberch as well in this conversation. It feels like Elliott's probably the most in the best form of those three at the moment.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to give Harvey a start in the field.
I think it is. Actually, I would go for this one. I would go McAllister, Jones and Elliott. I'd play okay. Jones on the left. And I do think Jones is, you know, not like him this not like him previously when he was at his best this season, but he's been getting caught in the ball quite a bit when he's been coming on, a little bit slow on it. I think that's just a case of getting up to speed. But I think he's had three substitute appearances now, so I think he's ready to come in and nail that spot again. And absolutely, Harvey Elliott. I just think we need to do something different there, change it up. You know, we're in a bit of a rut at the moment, and we need a rocket to sort of change things and bring a bit more positivity. And whether that's changing the midfielders or even going sort of 4-2-4 and throwing Gakpo into a kind of quasi midfield attacking position, I'm not sure, but he needs to do something different, I think.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What do you think, Rick? I'm banging to it being, I think Elliott should play. Yeah. I think he's the most informed. I think against a busy Palace midfield.
Yeah.
We saw the impact he made coming on against Palace. And that's always the thing with Harvey, isn't it? Because he's so good as a sub, you're half tempted to keep him as a sub because he comes on and impacts games where we've seen other players who come off the bench and it finds it difficult. It's a real good skill to have of being able to impact the game off the bench, but it also goes against you because the manager keeps putting you on the bench. But I actually think Jones is still coming back from injury. Is he ready to start two games in 4 days? Yeah. I don't know. You mentioned Szoboszlai's form has been great. We haven't seen much of Gravenberch, and he probably wasn't that great the last time we saw him either. What would you be doing?
Unfortunately, I mean, I was a massive, massive advocate to get Gravenberch back in the summer. I thought he'd be a great buy, and he still might be. Young player, still needs to come up to speed. He's more of a project.
And he's had a bad injury. He had an injury as well.
That's right, yeah. So, but I just feel like at the moment, I probably wouldn't start him in this game. I might bring him on. I think I'd definitely start McAllister. I do agree with Andy. I do think Endo does look a bit leggy. Looked a bit leggy against Man United. Yeah, but I just think his combativeness, even if you take him off after 60 minutes, I'd still put him in. And Sobo, he's having a bit of a stinker at the minute, isn't he? Especially after that terrible, horrible pass that he did last night.
It was worse than the pass. When the guy taps it in and he doesn't try and stop him.
Oh my God.
I can forgive a pass that I was the Ripper's head.
Steve, for a second, I thought he was injured. Yeah. I thought maybe he pulled something, but he hadn't. He just didn't get back. I was like, what are you doing? This is your fault. However, if he can show, I think play him into form. I think he can't continue surely to
go again with him.
Yeah, I'd give him another shot. I'd give him another shot, and then maybe bring Harvey on for him, like maybe 70 minutes or so.
I'm banging to Harvey starting. I think he's in good form. I thought he was good yesterday. I think he just isn't a right winger. He's so left footed and he's got no pace. It doesn't suit him, but I think I would go him.
I love Harvey. I really do.
Absolutely. Let's talk up front then. Salah and Diaz are going to play. I mean, there's no. I don't think Mo's in the greatest form again yesterday, but the fact they didn't start yesterday, it isn't even a conversation. He's going to play.
Yeah.
And I think we all probably would go with it, even though we agree he isn't. Andy brought up there about centre forward, Ricky. Nunes, he's got Gakpo. We don't quite know where Diogo Jota's at.
Yeah.
He played 20 minutes, didn't he? And he looked quite sharp. Yeah. I don't know what he's got in his legs as well. It's a difficult one, really, because what would you be doing centre forward?
Centre forward, So it's either Gakpo.
No. Gakpo Nunes, probably. Gakpo, I don't think, Nunes, unless Jota's fit enough to come.
Jota will probably be on the bench again, won't he? Probably come on, maybe last 20 minutes or so. I'd still go Nunes. I know that he hasn't been great in terms of in front of goal recently, but he's still been getting chances. He's still been looking lively. And I think a lot of it is to do with the relationship between him and Salah at the moment. I think before Salah went away and before he was injured, they had a really good kind of synergy. And I think Nunes was always looking for Salah, whereas I think he kind of became the main man for a little bit, didn't he, when Salah was away. And I think now Salah's come back, he's like, I want to get back in the goals again. I want to kind of like get my stats up. I want to get these goals and try and push us through. And he's not really looking for Nunes, where Nunes is kind of in good positions a lot of the time. And I think they need to work on that. I think if we're gonna you know, do well this season, I think those two need to click again. So I'd put them to him.
And why would you go Gakpo? Just form?
I don't know if I necessarily would go Gakpo. I think if I was going Gakpo, I would go in the midfield.
Okay.
Or play like sort of a 4-2-4. I know that hasn't really worked this season, but I think that's because Gakpo at the start of the season just wasn't firing, and he looks a bit sharper now, so that could work. I would just about go Nunez through the middle from the start. I think variety of different factors. Just firstly, probably Jota can't do any more than you would say 45 minutes, so I think he's probably a substitute for this game, and you don't want to rush Jota back as well, because we've got those five really tough games in the league coming up, and you want Jota for those. I think Crystal Palace play quite a high line. Most sort of progressive teams do as well, so you know you want Nunez's pace in behind. He's always an option on the shoulder to just run into. That all said, I do think because Nunez has played so much football, he's looking a bit leggy at the moment. And listen, there's no doubt about it. People have their opinions on Nunez, but his greatest asset is his physicality and his running and his strength. You know, his technical abilities leaves a lot to be desired sometimes for me. So, you know, if you're taking a little bit away from the physicality and the pace, then, you know, you're left with a much worse sort of version of Darwin Nunez.
If I could guarantee you an hour of Jota, if the fitness staff come to you, you can do an hour. Would you start him or would you bring him off the bench?
Yeah, I'd absolutely start him up front. Absolutely start him up front. Yeah, over Nunez.
I agree with that.
So I'm hoping that's the case as well. We're sitting here, we're not sports scientists, but the general rule of thumb is usually 20 minutes of appearance, half an hour of appearance, first start. Like, that's how the general thing goes, but we don't know how fit he is. But I agree. I think given how important it is that Liverpool get goals and get goals, you know, quickly, if the fitness staff said you can have him for an hour, that pre-planned 60-minute sub that Liverpool do anyway, He must be half tempted, Ricky, because Liverpool have missed someone in front of goal who was that killer. I know Jota had a chance yesterday, but actually I thought it was quite difficult in the end. He was leaning back, but he still looked like the most likely. If the ball's in the box, he's going to score a goal.
He clearly wasn't, you know, he needs time to get up to speed, but he came on and he was making stuff happen like straight away. He got on the end of two crosses. You know, granted, they didn't go very well, but he nearly got us a penalty. So, yeah, I think if we can get an hour out of him from the start and get some couple of early goals, that'd be absolutely like priceless.
It really would be. It's one of them, isn't it? Because I was thinking, Andy, come back to you on the Luis Diaz thing as well. It actually feels like of all the four players, he might be among the best form. At different stages of the season, Ricky, you heavily relied on Mo Salah for a while.
Yep.
Salah goes away, and actually Gakpo and Nunes, and then Nunes gets injured, and then Diaz and Gakpo, and then. But it feels like now of the five of them, given that there's been injuries, up and down form, it feels like Diaz is probably the one who's in the best nick of all of them. And I wonder, is he able to carry the team for one or two months, just until everyone's back up to fitness? Because he might need to, because everyone else has got like up and down, haven't played much, been injured, just coming back from injury, all that kind of stuff. Do you think Luis Diaz has got the capability to go, right, this is the Luis Diaz game? Because if he does, Liverpool will win.
And he never hides Diaz. In a period of bad form, he's always going to get in the ball and try and make things happen. And he's an absolute menace. My only sort of issue with the makeup of the front three at the moment is, you know, for years we had Salah, Mane, Firmino, and Salah and Mane had a ridiculous output of goals, and Firmino did little bits around it, but was never like the most clinical striker in the world. Whereas right now, if it's Salah, who's usually clinical, but right now he's in a bad vein of form, and Diaz and Nunez, who just aren't killers for me. You know, they're great at certain things in all-round play. You know, Diaz does so many things right, but just doesn't quite get in the areas and quite get enough goals. Although his output recently has been a little bit better. And Nunez, we all know Nunez isn't clinical. So, you know, right now we're relying on Salah for these goals. Is Salah on form, alone as the only killer in the side enough to win us the league? Who knows? But there's one thing for certain. Jota's all-round game can sometimes leave a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
but he is a killer and he will take the chances. And, you know, against Manchester United, if you could have given me, I don't know, Filippo Inzaghi, because I heard a story once that the Milan players, like in Rondos, they used to like literally laugh at how bad Filippo Inzaghi was at football, but he was just deadly in front of goal. And that's just
Tim
exactly
Haaland,
what we needed.
You can call him a League 2 player. I wouldn't mind him. I wouldn't mind a couple of League 2 players.
But we just need a killer in front of goal and nothing else right now, because we've enough good all-round play in that team to create chances.
That's the thing. That's going back to the Diaz thing, I actually think he is in the best form. It's just whether his best, like, it looked like Liverpool are low on confidence and all those, from everyone having a little bit of a wobble up and down a bit. It feels like when you're the man in form, it's almost, you know, right, okay, it's my responsibility to get us through this.
Yeah.
It feels like there's a lot on Luis Diaz's shoulders. I think he's actually handled it quite well, but it might just be one more time. Can he go one more time and go, right, I understand it isn't the best couple of days for us, I wasn't involved, I'm not taking the blame, here we go, I'm going to come back and take over the game. Because if he does, like I say, it gives Liverpool a really good chance.
Yeah, I mean, like Andy says, he never hides. His all-round play is in his position is great. It's just the output on goals. And, you know, like when he came in, he was clearly the replacement for Sadio Mane, and you're trying to replace, what 15 goals a season, pretty much. And Diaz just doesn't really get there. But yeah, everything else that he does is phenomenal. And like Andy said as well, he has recently been, you know, chipping in with some goals and stuff. So hopefully he can carry on doing that, because we need him. But massively need him.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're getting your score predictions for the game in a moment. There's our teams. And before we do, just have a little look, obviously, at the league table and what else is going on. As we all know, going into the weekend, Arsenal are top, 71 points, but their goal difference is 51. Liverpool, 71 points as well. Our goal difference is plus 42. So there's a big 9-goal swing between the two there. And then obviously City, 31.8 games played, 70 points. Their goal difference is plus 40, just worth that in mind. We always look, Andy, at this stage of season, of course, of the fixtures for the teams. Now, Manchester City are playing Luton at home. I don't think anyone's holding out hope for Luton to do anything. Who knows? You never know. We've got John behind the camera there, Everton, who's desperate for City to beat them 12-0. But, like, I, as plucky as Luton have been, this isn't the game where City... It feels like this one's where it's like, just don't batter them. Like, well, look, this is more of a don't smash your goal difference, rather, because it's very unlikely Luton can get anything at the Etihad.
Yeah, Luton are really impressive.
They're plucky,
actually,
in everything
I've seen. You know, they go to Arsenal the other week, and I remember sitting here talking about it and saying Luton have no chance, and they ultimately are quite comprehensively beaten in the end. But I think they're missing a ridiculous number of players, you know, and they're not exactly well stocked in terms of resources to begin with. So to put in these performances, I think their manager's really, really, really impressive, and I don't think he'll be at Luton long. Even next season, if they go down to the Championship, I think he'll be hot on the heels of a lot of Premier League clubs or even European clubs. All that said, I don't expect them to do anything. Arsenal with a goal difference there, 9 ahead. We're not pulling that back. We need Arsenal to drop points. Villa at home, it is possible. They're playing well recently, but I think, you know, in terms of their form, they're in a really, really good moment. I don't think that's going to last the whole season. So hopefully that draw in midweek will have knocked them a bit of energy expended into that, and Villa can come back and do something with Watkins, which they didn't have against City.
Yeah. I suppose, well, the only caveat here, I suppose, Ricky, is both these teams, and we also hold Arsenal second, have had Champions League commitments. Both went through grueling games, and they both got another one coming up earlier in the week as well. Obviously, Arsenal going to
and they're both in the balance as well.
So they go there on Wednesday. So obviously, Arsenal play Sunday, Wednesday. Manchester City, I mean, they're at home against Real Madrid, of course, on Wednesday afternoon as well. But again, tie in the balance. That's the only thing. Did he do what Liverpool did maybe yesterday and just rest one too many players, or there's just one too many lads out of form? Arsenal should beat Aston Villa, but it's at home against the fifth place side, who are still, you know, Villa are banging this top four race if they need to, because fifth might not get Champions League now.
Yeah,
obviously, I know you know a couple of Arsenal fans yourself down there. is there any hope of Villa doing anything for you against Arsenal?
I think so. I think with Ollie Watkins back, I think Villa have been really good this season, and I think on their day, they can give anyone a really good game. I just think Arsenal are just so good defensively at the minute. Yeah. They remind me of when we won the league. Yeah. Like, just they rarely give anything away, and they can mix it up. They can, if you want to have a fight, they can have a fight with you. If you want to pass it, they can pass you out the game. If they can go direct, they've kind of got all bases covered. So I can't really see how anyone's going to outscore them, because they're so good defensively. But you know, Ollie Watkins having the season of his life, if anyone can. Villa should be able to do it.
I suppose, well, hopefully, Andy, if all goes well, like Liverpool should be Crystal Palace at home, you'd expect Manchester City to be Luton at home. Like, Arsenal could go into that game in third place, and then obviously they've shown all season this old tag of flaky Arsenal, you can write that it's gone.
Yep.
They're anything but. But there is something to do with, you know, if they do drop points and all of a sudden they stay third in the league, this is the psychology of title races. Like, the benefit of going first that Manchester City have got is if you win, it's great. And Liverpool felt this a few weeks ago, didn't they? They got to play Brighton and beat them and then watch those two fight against each other. This time Arsenal get the challenge of going last, and they've probably got the most difficult game of the three teams as well. So that's maybe psychologically something to think about as well. They've just been had a grueling game against Bayern. They've got another one. And it, you know, on paper, Liverpool and City are going to leapfrog them. It'd be interesting to see how Arteta and Arsenal respond to that.
Yeah, scoreboard pressure is a big thing. And I think compared to, it's very similar to the situation we were in last week, where I sat down on Saturday on my sofa to watch Palace City, thinking that's a tricky game, to watch Brighton Arsenal, thinking that's a tricky game. And I was actually quite confident that one or both of them would drop points. And both ended up being quite comprehensive and just, you know, sweeping them away and getting the job done. And I felt a bit sort of despondent going to bed on Saturday night thinking, maybe we have to go to Old Trafford and win. We've not got a great record there. So they'll be in the same situation, except obviously in this instance, they won't actually expect us to draw points. They'll expect both of us to win. So they'll expect to be third going into that. Whereas whether our players took much notice of what happened on the Saturday, they're probably sort of professional, unlike me, who sort of puts everything into every game emotionally. So yeah, it will be a big one for them. You know, they're getting closer and closer to it. You know, they I don't want to use the word bottle because I think it's overused, but they certainly throw it away towards the end of last season in games where they shouldn't. And they'll be keen to avoid that again. But yeah, they've got some tricky enough fixtures coming up. They still go to Spurs and they're still to go to United. This is probably the third trickiest of their six to go. So yeah, let's see what they're made of.
I suppose as well, if looking at glass half empty point, unfortunately, Ricky, is that Villa did play last night. They had a grueling game themselves. Yeah. They've got their own European quarterfinal on the horizon as well. So they're going through the Thursday Sunday thing where Arsenal played Tuesday. You know, two day difference, and Arsenal be at home. Like, you would want this the other way around, really. You know what I mean? Villa beat Arsenal at home early this season. Probably I felt Villa did okay, but Arsenal were decent, just couldn't finish the dinner. That's the only difference here. If Villa hadn't had that midweek game, I think I'd be a little bit more confident. But that's again that Thursday Sunday grind is a grind.
Yeah, I think it's going to make a difference ultimately. But you never know. Like, the Premier League, how many times have we been in this situation thinking that a result is going to go a certain way? And the Premier League, which is why we love it, is that anyone can beat anyone. Yeah. So, like, you know, you never know. I think City will drop points. I don't think Arsenal will lose, but I think they'll draw at some point as well.
So we just need to make sure. We've
just got to win every game, man. I really do think we have to.
I agree. Do you think they'll win the weekend, Andy?
Liverpool?
Yeah.
Yes, I think we'll win 2-1. I was thinking about this in terms of the day.
Oh, mate.
I know, it's not going to be 3-0. It's not going to be 4-0, is it? I was thinking about... Sorry,
that sounds horrendously stressful.
How my Sunday night looks, and I think the only way I don't end up out is if both Liverpool and Arsenal win. Because, you know, any other combination is, I'm just going to be either heartbroken or buzzing that we're going to the top of the leagues.
You're drinking, it's just happy drinking or sad drinking.
Yeah. Unless both win, in which case that'll be great for work on Monday.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And these bosses are hoping for a comfortable Liverpool and Arsenal win then. Do you think they're going to win? Liverpool are going to win the weekend, Rick?
I do think we'll win. I think it'll be 3-1. I don't think it will be an easy game. I think we'll probably get a couple of late goals, and it'll be like, whew, that was a close game. Do you know what I mean?
It's hard at the moment to just envision them battering someone, because they haven't looked like battering someone for a while. So I think you're right. Listen, I much prefer Ricky's outcome than Andy's. Listen, both wins, I'll take it every time, but they do feel quite stressful. But yeah, that is this time of the season. There's six more of these to go, starting, like I say, at the weekend. Thanks to Andy, thanks to Ricky for coming in. You guys are the best. Thanks everyone for watching or listening to this episode of the Match Preview. Join us again on Sunday for the watch along of the game, of course. Me and Errol in the studio from 12:45 with the Uncensored Match build-up, and then 12:45 with the watch along. Yeah, it's six more of these to go. It's not getting any less stressful, is it? Have a good weekend, and I'll see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.